You wonder sometimes why parents give children the names they have. Maybe it's just because they like the name. Maybe it's because it reminds them of someone else. But Mephibosheth, why not Malcolm or Michael or Martin? Something that Lorna could have said very easily this morning. But we read this wonderful story of Mephibosheth. And life started very well for Mephibosheth. He was the grandson of King Saul. He was Jonathan's son. Lived in the palace, part of the royal household. Well, you couldn't get much better. Life was good. Life was easy. But when Mephibosheth was 5 years old, the Bible says things changed totally. For when this little boy was just five, news came from a battlefield in a place called Jezreel. A messenger came with terrible news. Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan, and his grandfather, King Saul, were both dead. There was now a new king. And Mephibosheth's future was uncertain. Even though he couldn't have understood it at the age of five, his future is very uncertain. And as though that wasn't enough, there was such a panic in Saul's household to get out of the way and hide away that as his nurse gathers him up in her arms, she drops him. And he's left handicapped for the rest of his days, disabled. Left the splendor, the luxury of the royal palace. And the Bible simply says that he and the household hid away in a place called Lo Debar. And Lo Debar apparently means no pasture land, no pasture, no green. It's a barren place. It's a desolate place. It's a lonely place. Now, we don't know a great deal else about Mephibosheth. It's quite possible that he resented King David. Quite possible that he was very frightened of David. Mephibosheth was of the royal line. He was Saul's grandson. By right, it should have been him that was sitting on the throne, but now here's David on the throne. You could understand it if he resented David. Also, it was normal practice in those days that if someone came to power, they got rid of absolutely anybody who might start a rebellion against them. Anybody who they even thought could stand up against them, they got rid of them. So not only did Mephibosheth resent David being on the throne, but he was rightly scared of him too. Because David could well arrive in and simply wipe them all out. No possibility of rebellion. David would hunt them down, even in the backwater of Lo Debar. But that's where he hides, this barren, desolate, lonely place. And then one day, messengers from King David arrive with Mephibosheth. Can you imagine all that's going on in his heart and his head? As the messengers say, "We've come from the king. We're going to bring you from this place to the royal palace." What waits? What lies ahead? Meanwhile, David waits in the royal palace. David hasn't forgotten the promise that he made years ago to Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan, his best friend. Listen to a verse from 1 Samuel that sort of summarizes their friendship and their covenant together. "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord. The Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever." And David promises to care for the descendants of Saul. And so right at the beginning of this chapter, which Lorna read for us, we have David asking a question. He has come through a period of warfare, and now there's a period of peace in the kingdom. And David asks this question. He simply asks, is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? Is there anyone left that I could show God's kindness to? That's what David's thinking in the palace. Is there anyone out there, our descendant of King Saul, that I can be kind to? Mephibosheth in Lodabar, he's thinking, why does David want me? What lies ahead? You can imagine Mephibosheth's terror as he sprawls before David. He even describes himself as a dead dog. He's terrified. And yet, that's the place where Mephibosheth finds himself adopted into the king's household, lavished with honor. An amazing thing. Does Mephibosheth deserve it? Not really, no. Has he earned it? Not really. Will he ever be able to repay the kindness of King David? It's unlikely. The story is a wonderful illustration of God's grace. We've talked already this morning about a covenant of grace, about love given to those who don't deserve it, love given to those who haven't earned it in some way, love given to those who will never, ever be able to repay that love. That's God's grace. Mephibosheth finds himself taken from a place of despair and barrenness, a hard place, and set in this place of honor. That's what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, taken us from the barren, hard, despairing place of our sinfulness, and through faith in Jesus Christ, placed us in this place of honor in his family. This story is a wonderful illustration of God's grace to us. Paul in the New Testament simply says, in love, God predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, adopted into his family. Now, sometimes we struggle with sons. Why not sons and daughters? Well, in Paul's time, it was the son who inherited everything. So when Paul says you're sons of God, he's making it clear you have inherited everything of God in Jesus Christ. Everything. Taken from that place of despair and hopelessness and lifted to a place of honor, adopted into his family. Life would never be the same for Mephibosheth. He had experienced David's loving kindness. He had experienced David's grace. Would never be the same. No longer was he hiding away in that barren, despairing place, hoping that David wouldn't find him, hoping that he would not suffer under David's hand. Now he's set free from all that. Adopted into the royal household. There is no condemnation for Mephibosheth. Just as for us, there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Set free by the loving kindness of God. You can imagine every morning as Mephibosheth woke up and as he came to his senses and looked around him in the splendor and beauty of a royal palace, he would pinch himself. Is this really true? Is this really happening? As he limped through life, his disability was almost a reminder of the grace that he had experienced. Because there's no way he had earned the loving kindness of David. There's no way he could ever pay it back again. It was simply grace. It was undeserved love. And it's as though his limp reminded him of that day after day, reminded him of God's grace, of David's goodness to him. And we're in the same place. We may not have a limp as such, but we have a continual problem with sin. That's our limp. Continually sinning. And it's a constant reminder of the grace that God has shown to us in Jesus Christ. In 1 John, we read the verse, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness." That's all unrighteousness. That is God's grace. That is God's love. And it's a reminder that grace is available day after day, moment after moment. It's not an excuse to go ahead and sin. It's a reminder that God's grace waits for us. His undeserved love waits for you, reaches out to you in Jesus Christ from that barren, hard place to a place of honor. That was what Mephibosheth experienced. There is no place so barren that you cannot receive grace. Sometimes people think, you know, I have messed up so much in my life. My life is so broken. My life is just falling apart. How could God love me? How could God love me when he knows what I've been through, what I've been doing, what I've been thinking? How can God love me? And we find ourselves not in a geographically barren place, but we find ourselves living in a desperate place, desolate, lonely, forsaken. And in that barren and hard place, God reaches out to us in Jesus Christ. Tim Keller is a Presbyterian minister in New York, also an author. He writes this: "You can never experience God's grace until something has shown you your weaknesses, your insufficiency, your sin, your neediness." In effect, we will never experience God's grace until we realize that we are in that barren, hard place and that there's no other way. Mephibosheth, as far as he was concerned, would spend the rest of his days in Lodabar, that place of desolation. But David brings him into the royal household. For us, there are times when we think, how could I ever be part of God's family? And yet God in his grace brings us from that hard place and adopts us into his family and puts us in a place of honor. That is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Mephibosheth, the honor of being in David's house, the honor of eating at the king's table. There is no place so barren that you cannot receive God's grace. God knows you, knows where you are, knows all that's going on, and yet he loves you. The Bible simply says it was while we were still in our sin that Christ died for us. He didn't wait until we got our lives sorted out. He didn't wait until we could possibly repay his goodness and his kindness. Christ died for us while we were still in our sins. There is no place so barren that you cannot receive God's grace. David's question is a good one to ask ourselves. Not only do we get to that stage in our lives when we realize I am totally dependent upon the grace of God, but we need also to get to that stage where we ask the same question that David asked: is there anyone out there to whom I can show the kindness of God? David didn't ask, is there somebody out there who deserves me to be kind to them? Is there someone out there who deserves an honor because of their service to the community, to the church, whatever? Is there someone out there who deserves my kindness? Is there someone out there who could pay it back down the line somewhere? Someone who has enough reserves to be able to pay back what I give to them. Is there somebody out there who deserves it? David didn't ask that question. He simply asked, is there someone out there to whom I can show kindness, to whom I can show grace? The question should be in our heads too. For we are saved by grace to relate with grace. Not to hold that grace for ourselves, but to seek to share it. And so we need to ask that question. Who is it? Who is it to whom I can show grace and loving kindness? Who is it, Lord? When we have experienced God's grace, the floodgates are open and that grace pours through us to extend to others. Why? Because we're set free. Because we're confident in who God is and all that He has done for us. My confidence not in me and my abilities and my resources. It's about what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. And that never changes. King David was to write of that confidence. King David, who brought Mephibosheth into his own home, his own household, who sat him at his table, who made sure that he had the best of food, who would spend the rest of his days in that royal household, King David writes, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord," not just for a lifetime, but forever. That's God's grace extended to you and to me in a deeper and more eternal way than King David could ever have extended to Mephibosheth. God extends His grace to each of us. And may God, by His Spirit, help us to realize not only who and what we are, but to remember who and what He is, the God of amazing grace. Shall we pray together? Lord, we bow before You, acknowledging that You alone are God, acknowledging that You alone are the source of the grace that we need. God of grace, speak into our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.